AM and FM, Seattle.
CBS News. The leaders of the United States and the Soviet Union prepare to sign an historic agreement Friday. I'm Jerry Landay, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. President Ford and Russian party leader Leonid Brezhnev are to sign a pact limiting the explosive power of underground nuclear devices for peaceful purposes. The twin ceremony in Moscow and Washington was once postponed because of domestic American political considerations. Peaceful explosions underground would be limited to 150 kilotons, and for the first time ever, American inspectors will be allowed to visit some Russian nuclear testing sites. More news after this.
I'm Barbara Hale from Anna, and I'd like to introduce some friends of mine, Danny Davis and the Nashville Brass. Hi, Danny.
Hi, Barbara. Am I excited? Boy, we've just finished a fabulous record for all America, a special bicentennial stereo album recorded exclusively for Amana called America, 200 Years Young.
A $6.95 value for only a dollar just for watching a demonstration of Amana's revolutionary Touchmatic radar range, the first microwave oven with a memory. Fantastic. You get food from the freezer to the table piping hot just by touching a few numbers. Simple as 1, 2, 3. See the Amana Touchmatic radar range demonstrated at participating Amana retailers and get your Amana Bicentennial album for a dollar.
With Danny Davis and the Nashville Brass. Get it.
The Senate Finance Committee has voted to extend until mid-1977 most of the anti-recessionary package of tax cuts for individuals and businesses enacted early last year. Some $20 billion worth of tax relief was due to lapse in July. Full Senate approval is expected. In California, Ronald Reagan criticized the extension, claiming the government can't afford it given the large budgetary deficit. Reagan calling on the president to veto the measure. Reagan was being talked about at a birthday party Thursday night, a party for Senator Hubert Humphrey. From Minneapolis, Randy Daniels reports.
More than 2,000 Minnesota Democrats paid $100 a plate to pay tribute to Humphrey on his 65th birthday, and here both Kennedy and Humphrey lash out at the Republican Party. Kennedy chastised the Ford administration for the long string of vetoes of Democratic legislation. Humphrey saved his political barrage for Ronald Reagan, referring to a 1948 endorsement by Reagan, then a Democrat, an endorsement of Humphrey and his policies.
And as I heard Reagan in 48, I said, what a pity that a man that had such a good start should end up selling borax in what we call, what is that desert you got out there? It's a pity that a man that had that chance should have forfeited it to become the leader, if you please, of the voices of reaction in this country.
Political observers here see significance in the Humphrey-Kennedy appearance, some saying it was designed to intensify the Stop Carter movement among Democrats. But both Kennedy and Humphrey avoided public discussion of Carter, instead talking about party unity, and all the while keeping their options open. Randy Daniels, CBS News, Minneapolis.
Representative Wayne Hayes of Ohio has come under pressure from the House Democratic leader Thomas O'Neill to give up his chairmanship of the party's Congressional Campaign Committee. And another colleague, Congressman Romano Mazzoli of Kentucky, called on Hayes to resign. But Hayes' press secretary has told newsmen Hayes has no thought of heeding either suggestion. A federal grand jury is now examining possible fraud charges in Hayes' employment of Elizabeth Ray while she served as his mistress. Two members of the House say the Ford administration will break diplomatic ties with the nationalist Chinese island of Taiwan after the November election. They suggest Mr. Ford believes that to terminate relations before the election could well lose him conservative votes. Closer ties with the People's Republic of China are linked to America's repudiation of its diplomatic and military ties to Peking's remaining opponents in Taiwan. More news after this.
It's the white collar, the heart's two-in-one collar that kills both ticks and fleas.
This summer, don't let ticks and fleas make your pet suffer. Put a heart's two-in-one collar on your dog or cat now. Don't let ticks and fleas get a free ride into your home. Put a heart's two-in-one collar on your pet now. To kill ticks and fleas, the right collar is the white collar.
Get the white collar, the heart's two-in-one collar. It kills both ticks and fleas.
Hello all, I'm Mike Roy here with dutiful friend Dennis Bragg.
And I'm on duty right now, Chef, to tell you what's going to happen tomorrow on The Cook Thing over the CBS radio network. Well, that is to say, it's really your move. If you'll move your checkerboard apron there.
Well, tomorrow I'm going to marinate some mushrooms, but the big thing about tomorrow is a secret way to use a little plastic bag, and it all comes out delicious.
You're going to use a plastic bag?
Uh-huh. Hey, you don't eat the bag.
Oh. Well, I certainly hope not tomorrow on Mike's Cook Thing here on CBS.
A federal appeals court in New York has ruled provisionally against the use of plutonium as fuel in commercial power reactors. The court ruling suggested there's much more to be learned about the potential hazards of plutonium to health and safety before the power industry gets a green light on fuel recycling and breeder reactors. I'm Jerry Landay, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI, and the time is 10:06.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Host for certain dark and mysterious ceremonies that are celebrated regularly at this time and place. Why do we do it? Why do we teach children certain proverbs or maxims, or give them various bits of cautionary wisdom which in actual practice prove at worst to be false and at best irrelevant? For instance, we say, all the world loves a lover. Really? Half the people in his own hometown were out to kill Romeo. And how many friends did Don Juan have? The truth is, being a lover can turn out to be the most hazardous occupation of them all.
Oh, my darling.
I beg your pardon.
My beloved.
You must be making a mistake.
It's no mistake. No mistake. I love you.
I've never seen you before in my life.
I adore you.
Please, this is a public place. People are staring.
Oh, hold me.
Now, look, lady.
Oh, kiss me.
I don't even know you.
Love me. Love me. Or I'll kill you.
Our mystery drama, Demon Lover, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Mandel Kramer. It is sponsored in part by True Value Hardware Stores and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Painting may be the least expensive way to improve the appearance of your home. This week, True Value Hardware Stores make it even less expensive. Hi, Pat Summerall to tell you it's National True Test Paint Week at True Value Hardware Stores. That means right now True Test paints are selling at their lowest prices of the year. True Test standard interior flat latex is just $4.97 a gallon. It gives a soft, velvety finish to walls and ceilings, covers most surfaces in one coat, and comes in white or eight colors. TruTest Standard One Coat Sealing Latex provides ceilings with high hiding suede tone finish that won't turn yellow. In white only, it's just $4.97 a gallon. And TruTest Standard Latex House Paint is just $5.99 a gallon. Its low sheen finish hides irregularities, and it comes in white or four ready-mixed colors. Get TruTest paints at their lowest prices of the year during National TruTest Paint Week at participating True Value hardware stores. Just tell them Pat Summerall sent you.
I live on the street with my mommy and daddy. I have a little sister, too. It's a lot of fun, most of the time. Except when my little sister takes my toys. She's yucky. Our family had a problem once, and Mommy and Daddy were upset with each other a lot. My mommy called the people at the Mental Health Association, and they helped us. I guess Mommy didn't know what to do, and the Mental Health Association gave us information and several places where we could go. I bet they could help anybody. Mommy said she found them in the telephone book. They were so nice. Daddy said they help people with all kinds of problems. I bet they could help you if you needed it. I wonder if they could talk to my little sister about playing with my toys.
Your Mental Health Association. People who care. People who can make a difference.
Why are so many love stories written? Well, writers love them. A writer doesn't have to prove or justify anything as far as love is concerned. His characters fall in love because he commands them to, for any reason or for no reason. And isn't that also the way it is in what we are pleased to call real life? Look at some of the romantic combinations of your own acquaintance. Can you figure them out? Why do people fall in love? Here, we deal in answers. And so, we're about to meet Professor Albert Morrison.
It's 2 in the morning. I know it is 2 a.m., even though there is no clock in the room. And they've taken my wristwatch from me. There was nothing malicious about that. Evidently, they fear I could break the crystal and do myself some injury. Of course, I could ring for the orderly, and he would tell me. The big heavy one, Joe, he's on tonight. And for all that he looks like a gorilla, he's really very kind and gentle. But I don't have to ask anyone. I can see the sky. And I can tell by the location of Cassiopeia. You see, I can center the whole constellation between the two middle bars of the window. Well, it doesn't really matter what time it is. I don't think I'll be going anywhere. But the fact is, I am right about the time because I hear Joe outside with my 2 o'clock medication.
You asleep, Doc?
No.
I got your pill. I swiped some grape juice for you.
Thanks, Joe.
You know, you're supposed to drink it with water, but I know how much you like grape juice.
You're very kind, Joe.
I think you're getting a bum deal. You know, after all, what'd you do? You killed a dame. Well, eh, so what? One less dame in the world. Who's going to miss her, huh? Doc?
Yes, Joe?
Hey, I quit fighting City Hall.
City Hall?
Yeah, the wheels. You know, the establishment. Ah, you know what I mean. Look, they want to think you're nuts. Okay, leave them. Go along. Play ball. Then they'll say, oh, well, we got to give him therapy and return him as a useful member of society. Huh? You follow that?
Yes, I think so.
And so you play the game with him for a year or 2 years, you know, just to make it look good. You follow that, huh? And before you know it, you're free. You're out of here. And it's like nothing ever happened. And believe me, Doc, in your whole life, nobody's ever going to give you a better chunk of advice.
Thank you, Joe.
Now, tomorrow, I got it through the grapevine. You're getting a new doctor.
I hadn't heard that.
Yeah. Somebody who wrote a couple of books, and so she's suddenly a hot property.
She?
Yeah, Dane. So, she'll be out to score pints. So just lead her along, you know? Leave her find out you ain't with us.
Look, Joe, I can't play a role. The truth is...
The truth. That's the trouble with you educated guys. You worry about the truth.
A new doctor. Why am I being given a new doctor? And a woman doctor. I don't like this. I was feeling very comfortable with Dr. Rader. Is that why we're changing doctors? Because I'm comfortable? Oh, listen to me. I'm becoming paranoid. Actually developing a persecution complex. These people are only doing what has to be done. After all, according to the circumstantial evidence. But why a new doctor? And why a woman? What kind of game is she going to play with me? I've already told the entire story, Dr. Mallow.
I know you have, Dr. Morrison. It does seem odd that we call each other doctor.
I have a PhD in astronomy. I don't insist on being called doctor.
Nor do I.
But since I am the patient, it is altogether fitting that I call you doctor.
You are the patient, and I am the doctor. Why? Because these are the roles that have been assigned to us by society. Who knows? It is entirely possible that I shall be helped more than you by our sessions.
I see. A brand new technique.
Why do you say that?
Oh, I've become an authority in psychiatrists. We have the austere ones, the friendly ones, the clinical ones, and now, you.
How do you classify me?
Well, you seem to be a we're both in this thing together type.
Well, we both are. Tell me, what happened?
Doctor, why do you persist? Why do all of you persevere in this pathetic little game?
I'm not aware that it's a game.
I was under the impression that absolute truth between doctor and patient is the cornerstone to any success in this type of relationship.
I am new to this case. I have no preconceived...
You're saying you know nothing about me?
Nothing.
Am I to assume that you never have read the papers, looked at a news program?
The news media can only examine the skin of the orange. What lies beneath is beyond their capabilities.
I see. We have here a phrase maker.
It's the truth.
Therefore, you intend to peel me as if I were an orange, to reveal my hidden juices.
With your help.
Doctor, why aren't you honest? Why doesn't everybody come clean? You're out to prove I'm crazy, and you know it. We'll play the game. But I'm sane, Doctor. I am as sane as you are.
You could be making a self-damaging statement.
You know, you're very soft and very gentle, with just a touch of wry humor, very much like Dorothy was. Same blonde hair.
Dorothy.
Is it possible? Are they that diabolical?
Who is Dorothy?
My wife. She was my wife. She died 5 years ago. She was the only woman I ever loved.
And I remind you of Dorothy.
In many ways. So they have found what they think is a psychological softening up process. They'll expose me to you. It won't work. I'm sane.
Tell me what happened.
For the 987th time, I was in the Logan cafeteria in the faculty administration building when a woman I had never seen before in my life threw herself at me.
Don't just tell it. Try to relive it. Try to reveal to me what it looked like, felt like.
All right. It passes the time. I have already said I was in the Logan cafeteria. I generally don't eat there, but on Fridays they have New England clam chowder. So I bought myself a bowl and I found a quiet table and I was enjoying my clam chowder. It was thick with large, succulent clam chunks. God was in his heaven and all was right with the world when suddenly she hurled herself at me, knocking the clam chowder to the floor in the process. I remember I said, "Madam, please," but she threw her arms around me, began to cover my face, mouth with kisses. Oh. "Please, madam, please."
"Oh, I love you. I love you."
"You must be making a mistake."
"Darling, darling, darling,
what
please.
Is the meaning of this? Please, who are you?"
"I must have you, always."
"Madam, this is certainly some mistake."
No.
Now, please.
No, don't push me away. Take me. Love me.
You have confused me with someone else.
No. No, I know who you are, what you are. Now I know why I was born, to love you.
I tell you, this is all a mistake. I wouldn't want you to make...
Love me now.
Look, can't we discuss this?
Love me here.
Rationally,
love
please.
Me.
We're starting a scene. People are looking.
I don't care. I defy the world.
Please.
I don't care.
Excuse me. Please, excuse me.
Oh, love me.
Please, will you excuse me?
I adore you.
Excuse me. Somehow I broke away from her. I ran to the door into the street. I ran all the way across the campus. I didn't stop running till I came to my apartment. When I arrived there, the phone was already ringing. Hello?
Morrison. Morrison, this is Clemens.
Yes?
Clemens. Jim Clemens. President Clemens.
Oh, yes. Yes, sir.
Get over here to my office at once.
Jim? Mr. Clemens. President Clemens, sir. Oh, boy.
Well, Doctor, when the president of the university says, get over here, you get over there. And I did. And he was loaded for bear. He harangued me for 10 solid minutes before I could get a word in edgewise. And when I finally did, he refused to believe it.
You expect me to believe that?
It's the truth.
Now, I warn you, Al, don't insult my intelligence. I know how you feel about me. I know how you all do. I got the job because I know how to raise money, not because of any intellectual brilliance. Now, you look down on me, but don't you think you can take me in with a story like that?
I haven't told you a story. I said I never saw that woman before in my life.
Well, that's a one-sentence story, and it is a lie.
I was sitting there minding my own business, enjoying my clam chowder when this woman attacked me.
Okay. I expect trouble with my political science people, with my arts people. But you fellows, you astronomers, you never bothered anybody.
That's not true. Galileo and Copernicus presented the authorities with a great deal of trouble.
I mean in 400 years. Oh, Al, help me out.
What are you talking about?
Her name. It's Maria Chapuchin. She's an exchange professor. She's considered the leading poet of her country. She's delicate, ethereal, shy.
Clem, are you serious?
You attacked her.
100 people in that cafeteria saw her attack me.
Not quite. She passed by your table and... You seized her.
Why?
Because you're crazy. No, you're not crazy. You're mentally unbalanced. You're having a nervous breakdown.
I can't believe what you're saying.
Al, the exchange program between our country and hers, well, a lot of people don't want it to work. We can't have any scandal. You see, they love her back home. If you can't come off as a nut, we'll have an international incident on our hands.
I don't care.
The government wants us to preserve her reputation at all costs.
How about my reputation?
Yeah. We must all make sacrifices.
We? What sacrifices are you going to make?
You need a new telescope as the observatory? We can get a government grant.
The answer's no.
Albert...
That woman is crazy. That's the kindest word I can think of to describe her. She threw herself at me for no reason at all.
Think it over. Think of what's at stake.
All right, what is at stake?
Many things. For one, the foreign policy of our country. For another, peaceful relations with one of the most powerful nations in the world. But, most important, I would say, your job. Now, Albert, will you think about it?
It's always something to think about when the boss puts the proposition in just that light. Well, here we have Albert Morrison, a quiet retiring professor of astronomy, locked up in an institution for the criminally disturbed, recounting the story of how he got there. So far, he seems more sinned against than sinning, but you know by now that you never get the full story in the first act. And I shall return shortly with the second.
Come see, there's good news round the corner. Good year, wherever you are.
No matter what brakes your car has, disc or drum, Goodyear has a brake job for you at only $40.88 plus any extra parts if needed. We'll install new front disc brake pads on two wheels or install new drum-type brake linings on all four wheels. Now at Goodyear for only $40.88.
Goodyear tires and Goodyear service.
Mr. Franklin, is it true that a penny saved is a penny earned?
Yes, and that's why I have a Fetters air conditioner to keep me cool.
Think cool, America. Fetters announces four bicentennial specials. Four rotary-powered room air conditioners from 10,000 to 21,000 BTUs. No waiting for a factory rebate. Get big savings now at participating dealers. Up to $60 less than comparable capacity Fetters models. Plus, a free $9.95 value bicentennial almanac. Hurry, get your Fetters bicentennial special today.
Hi, this is Andre Fisher with Rufus. Today, many high school graduates who want to go to college find they can't meet the high cost of higher education. If college money is a problem for you, then I'd like to talk to you for a moment about a plan that will not only pay your tuition, but also pay you a monthly allowance while you're in school. What's the plan? It's the Naval Reserve Officers Training Corps program. If you can qualify, NROTC will pay the cost of your college tuition plus $100 monthly cash allowance. And when you graduate, you'll join the finest of America's land, sea, and air team as a Navy ensign or a second lieutenant in the Marine Corps. It's never too early to plan for a future with an exciting career. And you can start today by talking to your high school counselor or local Navy recruiter about NROTC. Call the Navy toll-free 800-841-8000.
Minding my own business when this beautiful blonde threw her arms around my neck and started making passionate love to me. I tell you, I never saw her before in my life. This is the story that Albert Morrison, an astronomy professor, is telling Dr. Florence Mallow, a psychiatrist, in a state institution for the criminally disturbed. How did things get this far?
You insist you never saw Maria Chapuchin before.
It's true, Doctor.
But you changed your story. I have it here.
I know. That's a lie.
This affidavit of yours is a lie.
Yes.
Why did you sign it?
They brainwashed me.
Are you serious?
Doctor, what do you think brainwashing is? Weeks? Months? A physical and mental torture? Until at last the exhausted and ravaged psyche collapses? No, it can be done in an hour, even less, by playing on what a man believes in. Honor, duty, responsibility. That's what he convinced me of, finally. Don't threaten me, Clem. Before you fire me, I'll quit.
Albert, please. Now, I wouldn't do that, but there are times... Look, Albert, a man has to make sacrifices for his country. The more peaceful contacts we can have with her country, the better for our economy. Albert, it is the policy of our government, our democratically elected government has chosen in relation to her country. And who are you to sabotage relations between us and them? Especially since you believe in peace. This stubbornness of yours could cost friends of yours their jobs. Now you must help us.
All right, Clem, let's make sure we understand each other.
We do.
I was minding my own business and she simply attacked me. Now that's what happened, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
For public consumption and for reasons that we understand, we're saying that I was the aggressor.
Precisely. Now, just sign this affidavit that you've been feeling psychologically disturbed for quite a while and you request psychiatric help.
I still don't know if I'm doing the right thing.
Albert, we are in your hands. You must save us.
All right. Well, when do I have to go to the nut house?
Oh, please, Albert. It's a sanitarium.
When?
Now, I suppose. I mean, why wait?
Well, I have some things to take care of. Papers I want to finish. I'd like to work on them tonight. Could I go in the morning?
Absolutely.
All right, Clem. Goodbye.
Albert, I know how you feel. But believe me, one day we'll both look back on this, and we're going to laugh.
And that's why you signed this affidavit.
Yes.
Very well. You returned to your apartment. What did you do?
I put some things in order. I wrote another chapter in my book, and then...
Yes?
Then the bell rang. I opened the door.
And she was standing there.
Yes. She was standing there.
Oh, my beloved.
Oh, no. Please, I'm busy.
Why, my beloved, do you spurn me? Reject me?
Just a minute. Let me close this door. Very well. We have no audience like the one in the cafeteria. You have no one to play to.
Play?
What is this act all about?
Oh, I love you.
You've never seen me before. Admit that.
I love you.
Look, I understand that you are the great love poet. Poetess, back in your own country. Now, what are you out to do? Get some publicity?
I love you.
That needle is stuck.
I adore you.
Why me? I have 10-15 years on you. What do you want from me?
I worship you.
Fine. Let it be the way you say. Love, adore, worship. Let's assume that you fell in love with me at first sight. That happens. But I didn't fall in love with you.
Take me.
I don't want you. Do you understand? I don't want any woman. The memory of my wife is enough for me.
I must have you.
You speak English. Don't you understand it?
I will have you.
I don't want to be impolite, but I must ask you to leave.
I shall never leave you.
Please.
I was born to love you.
Can't I make you understand?
It is the will of the gods that I love you. I shall not disobey them.
What gods?
The gods. Can't you hear them?
No.
The gods are speaking. Fulfill your destiny. Love each other.
Are you sure you're not writing a poem?
We must not. We cannot. We shall not defy the gods. Please, take me in your arms.
Please, don't force me to do something.
There's another woman.
There was another woman.
She must step aside to give you up.
She is dead.
She claims you still. She must give way.
Whether she does or she doesn't, Mr. Putin, quite frankly, I am not interested in you that way.
No other woman shall have you.
No other woman does have me.
Dead or alive, she shall give you up.
Let me call you a cab and you can go home.
This is my home.
Now, just hold on.
You are my home. Isn't that what the goddess Isis declared to Ra, the immortal lord of all creation?
I wouldn't know.
Obey the gods and love me.
Now, look, I am very sorry, but I just can't...
But you must. You must love me. No other woman can have you. I'll kill you first.
Now, just hold on a minute.
I must kill you. It's the will of the gods.
That pistol of yours is small, but it can certainly do the job, so don't point it at me.
Say you love me.
I really can't do that.
Then die.
No, you don't. Now, you let go of that thing, you idiot.
I must kill you.
Let go.
She fired at me and missed. We struggled. I tried to get the gun away from her, but she was stronger than she looked. It went off, and the bullet went right into her heart. She was dead.
And that's your story.
You don't believe a word of it.
I neither believe nor disbelieve it. We have here the task of reconstructing the past. And what is the past? A series of memories that fade and become distorted with time.
I don't doubt it. However, the net result of everything you'll discover is that I am a psychotic killer.
That is one conclusion. There are others, an infinite number of others.
According to the district attorney, she came to my apartment to seek justice. I had betrayed her love, her trust. I had used her, and then callously flung her aside. She confronted me, and I killed her.
That's one story.
Now, it would be better for international relations if I were a psychotic rather than a deliberate seducer. Therefore, that's the verdict you folks have to come up with.
I want your side of the story.
I just told it to you.
No, you just showed me the orange. What's under the skin?
Nothing.
What are you holding back?
Nothing.
Then how do you account for her behavior?
I'm not supposed to account for it. The woman was psychotic.
Maria Alexandrovna Chipuchin, 30 years old, one of the foremost poets of her country. She deals in strong modern images.
I wouldn't know anything about that.
She is, was a leader in the movement away from classicism. Her ideas are crisp, current, contemporary. They sparkle with the latest slang, the burst of youthful ideas. Now, how do you account for what she said to you? It is the will of the gods that I love you. I shall not disobey them. And the gods are speaking. Fulfill your destiny. Love each other.
She could have been writing a poem.
She was not writing a poem, because that is not the kind of poetry she writes. She doesn't write about the ancient gods. It is a completely foreign idiom to her.
I can't help it. That's what she said.
But why?
I don't know.
Please, Albert, think.
Look, I'm tired. Tired, and I'm fed up. I can't fight it anymore. I'm crazy, okay?
No, it is not okay.
Let me tell you what really took place. You see, we happened to meet on the campus grounds one night. And it was just one of those things. I thought she just wanted a lark the way I did.
Yes.
And she, evidently, she took it seriously. She was a very emotional girl. Then when I said all affairs must one day come to an end, well, she made quite a scene. She actually confronted me in public. Well, the way 100 witnesses can tell you. She was becoming more trouble than she was worth. And so I simply lost my temper one night, and in a fit of uncontrollable rage, I shot her.
For over a month, you have told an entire battery of police officers and psychiatrists one story. One straight, simple, uncomplicated story. And that story insists that she was the aggressor. That you didn't even know her. That she came to your apartment and you were forced to kill her in self-defense. Am I stating the case?
Yes.
And now suddenly, we have a complete turnaround. You admit you seduced her. Why? Why have you changed your story?
I suddenly decided to tell the truth.
Is it the truth?
What do you people want? I tell you finally the story you want to hear. The story that will be best for all concerned, and it still doesn't make you happy.
I want the truth.
What's important about the truth?
Without it, all of us will be lost. Now, why did you change your story so abruptly? Why?
I can't tell you now, Doctor, not now. Don't ask me to tell you now, because you won't believe it. How can you? I can hardly believe it myself. I've changed my story because I've fallen in love with you. Oh, I know patients think they're in love with their doctors, but I know. You're Dorothy. Dorothy, in every tone of your voice and every light that shines in your eyes. Dorothy, in your smile. Dorothy, in the way you hold your head. You're Dorothy, come back to me again. Dorothy, reborn.
Why have you changed your story, Albert?
Because I'm ready to play the game. The game Joe advised me to play. I'll let you cure me, Florence. I'll let you nurse my sick mind back to health. And then I'll declare my love for you.
Hey, it's breakfast time, Professor.
Wonderful, Joe. I'm hungry.
Hey, way to go, Professor. Knock them all off. Minerals, vitamins, proteins, the whole joint's talking about you and that Dr. Mallow.
Oh, what are they saying?
Positive results, pal. You are now listed as a cooperative patient. You sleep good, you eat good.
I feel good.
Hey, Doc, keep it up. I mean, look. I see you finally took my advice.
I don't know what you're talking about.
That's the ticket. Dummy up. Don't admit nothing, not even to me. But just string her along, and you can be out of this joint by Christmas. And Doc, she ain't a bad-looking dame. And the grapevine says she goes for you.
What was there in your behavior that could have inspired
her? I don't know.
Albert, I thought we agreed never to use that phrase. Instead, we would pause, think, and try to come up with an answer. Obviously, you were doing something to her.
Yes.
Something in your manner incited her to...
Yes.
Well, think.
No. Now I better not say this.
Say anything that comes into your mind, no matter how silly it may seem to be.
Well, it's not something that was altogether of my doing. Perhaps another agency was at work here.
What other agency?
She spoke of the immortal gods. You remember she said she was following the will of the gods?
The gods. But we are modern, rational people.
I'm only telling you what exists in my mind.
Well, enough for today, Albert.
I'm not tired.
Perhaps not. But I am.
Yes, I can see that you're tired, my darling. And it's because we are no longer patient and doctor, but lovers. Lovers. Not one word of love has been spoken between us, but each of us knows how we feel. And soon, soon, my darling Dorothy, I mean Florence, I can trust you with the answer. Because, you see, my dearest, I know the answer now. I know now why that woman threw herself at me. I know why she had to kill me. And very soon you'll love me enough so that you'll believe me.
Very well. What does he know? Does he really know why poor Maria actually threw herself at him? If he does, he knows more than we do, and even more than she did. Well, all knowledge is usually revealed in the third act, and I shall return shortly.
And now, Coffee Rich, the frozen non-dairy creamer, presents Coffee Clutch. Tonight, we overhear a conversation in the dining room of Bridgefoot City's richest residence.
Matilda, the guests will be here any minute. Would you please explain 2 bowls of sugar and nothing in the creamer? Why, I never in my life...
Oh, no, Mom, it's a powdered creamer. We're out of Coffee Rich, Mom. Forgot to get it at Market.
Out of Coffee Rich? Go next door and borrow some from the Townsends. I precisely told you to always keep Coffee Rich on hand in the refrigerator.
Yes, Mom, so delicious, Mom. Couldn't help but having some myself on cereal this morning.
Very well, Tilly, Coffee Rich is delicious.
And so convenient, too, Mom.
Never mind all that just now. You must procure that carton of Coffee Rich.
Very well, Mom.
Well, will Tilly succeed in her attempt to get the Townsend's carton of creamy, delicious Coffee Rich? Be with us again soon. And meanwhile, try Coffee Rich yourself and taste what the whole town is talking about.
Coffee Rich. 2 of the very best words for good taste in your grocer's frozen food case. Ah, a poem.
Parents, reading is educational. Reading is exciting. Reading is fun. If you can read, you can help teach your child to read. Help your child create his own picture book. Join him or her in cutting out pictures you both like from magazines. Then paste the pictures on sheets of paper. Help arrange the pictures to form pages of different chapters. Some chapters might be called Daddy and Mommy, or Things I Like, or What I Want to Be, or Places I'd Like to Go. More than just being fun, putting the pictures where they belong will be teaching your child to organize and classify information. Listen for other new approach method, Reading Hints to Parents, furnished as a public service announcement by this radio station. For further ways you can help your child, write the New Approach Method Incorporated, Post Office Box 1303, Trenton, New Jersey, 08607.
Many aspects of love, and at this time we deal with love not as a sweet, sublime, satisfying emotion, but as a violent, destructive force that brings sorrow and death. We can't help these things. It's how matters work out for some people, and how it has worked out so far for Professor Albert Morrison.
Suddenly, it all falls into place. It's remarkable how so many discoveries occur in a sudden flash of insight. We stagger and stumble in the dark, and without warning, the white-hot idea illumines every nook and cranny of our consciousness. I know why that Maria became infatuated. No, not infatuated, fell in love. Not even fell in love, but was consumed. I know. There's only one answer. And it was so obvious. All the time I was wearing the sweater. Dorothy's sweater.
Dorothy, even in death, you'll be the one to save me. Remember that sweater, Dorothy? Remember, it was my birthday. I hurried home because your gift was always sure to be something wild and wonderful.
Happy birthday, darling.
What is that?
What do you think? It's a sweater.
Well, I know it's a sweater, Dorothy, darling, but what is that all over it?
Egyptian designs.
Why?
Well, because they're bold and colorful and exciting.
Why, I'd look like a walking tomb with all these pictures and lines.
Oh, you don't like it.
I love it.
Well, darling, it's just that you always dress so conservatively.
And you're about to change my entire image.
I'll tell you where I got the idea. See, I was in the library and browsing through a beautiful book of ancient Egyptian culture, and there were these fantastic designs.
Well, they're fantastic, all right.
Now, this central figure, this woman, she is the goddess Isis.
Really?
The goddess of love. She exists in practically all pagan mythology. And you see these little birds?
Mm-hmm.
And these squiggles that look like snakes and, well, everything. Well, it's a message.
You mean this says something?
Oh, yes. Yes, these aren't just any wild colors and pictures woven into your sweater. They say something definite and very interesting.
Well?
Well, you see, the translation was printed right next to the design, and it says, Memnon, an Egyptian noble of Memphis, joined the Greek general Phistos of Sparta in a war against the Scythians.
Who were the Scythians?
Oh, a warrior people who lived in what is now the Balkans, parts of Russia. Anyhow, our hero Memnon asked his patron goddess Isis for a charm which would protect them against the wild Scythian warrior women. Isis did reply, "Weave my charm into your battle shields, and the wild Scythian women shall fall madly in love with your men." And thus...
That's what it says?
Yes, darling. You can read it for yourself.
The idea was that the Scythian warrior women would fall in love with Memnon's soldiers?
And thus be conquered.
They would just see this design on the shield.
That's all. That would do it.
Scythia. Well, I better not wear this sweater when there are any Russian women around.
You never know about these ancient charms and things. Maybe you better not.
If you want the truth, I didn't wear it at all. I was too self-conscious to be seen in it. So I would make excuses. The occasion was too formal for a sweater, or the weather was too warm. Darling Dorothy, she understood, but she never took me to task. I always intended to wear the sweater. A few months after my birthday, she died. She left me. I must make Florence believe the story. Florence is so much like Dorothy. And Dorothy always believed me.
I see you ain't touched your breakfast this morning, Doc.
I'm not hungry.
Hey, you ain't going back to being nervous again, are you, Doc?
No. It's just that this is going to be an important day for me, Joe.
Well, you're doing fine, Doc. Yeah, you got this rap as good as beat, you know.
Today is the day that I must tell something very vital to Dr. Mallow.
Oh, no sweat, Doc. You know, you can feed that chick anything you want. You know, she digs you.
Joe,
huh?
Could you do something for me?
Just name it, Doc.
Look, as soon as you can, could you get over to my apartment? I don't have the key.
Oh, I know where they keep your things. I can swipe it.
Look, I have a sweater there with long sleeves. It's blue, red, and black, and yellow.
Oh, hey, man.
With Egyptian-looking designs on it. Now, could you bring it here?
Doc, it's done.
I know it's hard to believe, Florence, but it's the truth.
And so you insist that this charm of the goddess is what made Maria Chipuchin throw herself at you?
Yes, it has to be the answer.
Why?
What other answer is possible? I know I never encouraged her in any way.
In any way that you are aware of?
She is the one who spoke about the goddess Isis.
No. You are the one who said she spoke about it. I have only your word for that conversation.
Florence, do you doubt my word? I thought you cared for me.
I do care for you, Albert.
How do you care for me? The way a doctor cares for a patient?
Yes.
Or the way a woman cares for a man?
My personal emotions are not at issue here.
Oh, they are. They are. I thought you were in love with me.
Why?
Because I'm in love with you.
Oh.
Is that all you can say?
Oh?
Albert, I do care for you.
And I just asked you how.
I don't want to go into that, not now.
Why not now?
Because it's too premature.
If we're in love, we're in love.
How do you know you are in love with me?
Love is something you know, you just know.
On the other hand, you can still be in love with Dorothy. You think I am Dorothy.
I know you are not Dorothy.
Well, I'm enough like her.
I'm in love with you.
Now, getting back to the goddess, Isis, and the sweater.
I was wearing the sweater that day in the cafeteria.
But why? You said you never wore it.
I can prove it. There were witnesses. They would testify to the fact that I wore a crazy-looking sweater. Show it to them. They'll recognize
it. But why did you wear it that day?
Because it was my birthday. And I couldn't stop thinking about Dorothy. I felt I had to be close to her. And so I wore the sweater that she had made with her own hands.
And there, in the cafeteria, Maria Chipuchin saw the design.
Maria Chipuchin was obviously a descendant of those Scythian warrior women.
But we can't prove that she could read Egyptian picture writing.
She didn't have to read it. Her ancestors couldn't read it either. It was the power of the goddess Isis that commanded them.
How can you, a man of the 20th century, a doctor of philosophy, an astronomer, a scientist...
I'm only telling you what happened.
Where is the sweater now, Albert?
In my apartment. I sent Joe to bring it. You'll see, you'll read the charm. You'll see how authentic it is. I tell you, Maria did talk about the goddess Isis. I don't care if she was modern. The goddess Isis possessed her soul through that charm. She lost her will, her reason.
I can prove to you that what you are saying is nonsense. That there's nothing to it.
How?
Come in.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought the session was over, Dr. Mallow.
What do you have in that bag, Joe?
It's all right, Joe. Just leave it here. Thanks.
And now, please, excuse us.
Yes, ma'am.
I said I would prove to you that this is nonsense. Now, put on the sweater.
But how will that prove
just
any...
do as I tell you. I'll explain later.
You're the doctor.
All right, now. Let me tell you why your theory holds no water at all. I deliberately neglected to say something when you told me your story about Isis. Albert, if it's true, then why? Why don't I?
Florence?
Why?
Florence, is something wrong?
Oh, Albert. Oh, my darling. Oh, my beloved.
Florence.
Come to my arms.
Florence, what do you
say? I adore you. I love you. Tell me that you love me.
Yes, 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 I love you. I do love you.
Oh, embrace me. Kiss me.
Dorothy, I thought I'd never hold you again.
I don't know what happened to me. Suddenly I realize I can't live without you.
Dorothy, you've come back.
Never let go of me.
Never.
Hold me closer, closer. Oh, my beloved, say my name. There's poetry when you say it. Florence, oh, come say it. Say it.
You're not Dorothy.
I'm Florence. I'm your own beloved Florence.
You're not Dorothy. Let go of me. Let go.
No.
Let go.
Don't push me
away.
I said let go. I love you. I have to obey the gods, the immortal gods.
You're crazy. You're like the other one.
Beloved, hold me. Love me. Don't cast
me. You're not
aside.
Dorothy. I thought you were Dorothy. I was so lonely.
You're mine. Mine. You belong to me.
I'm sorry if there's been a mistake.
Isis orders me to love you.
What kind of nonsense
and
are you speaking?
You must love me.
All this stuff. How can you, a psychiatrist, be taken in by it?
You love me.
I can't love you. I love Dorothy.
Dorothy! She must give you up.
No.
The gods command it. No other woman can have you. I'll kill you first.
You're crazy.
If I can't have you, she won't have you either.
I don't have to listen to this.
I will strangle you with my own bare hands. Isis, give me strength.
Don't try.
Isis, help me to fulfill thy command.
You're choking me. Let's go.
Ooh!
Doc? Doc, you hungry? You gotta eat. I know you hate to be fed. I'll unstrap your hands. Okay. Here.
Joe?
Yeah, you did, Joe. Oh, man.
Man, you went and you did it again.
I couldn't help it. It was self-defense.
No kid.
She was choking me to death.
That little bit of a gal.
She had the strength of Isis in her fingers.
Yeah?
I had to hit her. I must have hit her too hard. She fell back and hit her head against...
You killed her like that, huh? Hey, what makes you do it, Doc? I mean, one time I dig, but, gee, two in a row.
I don't know. I just don't know.
She was okay. I mean, for a dame. She worked hard, you know. She come to this country. She was just a little kid. She made her own way, you know. Gotta hand it to her.
You say she came to this country when she was just a little kid.
Uh-huh.
Where did she come from?
I don't know. I hear it might have been Russia, Yugoslavia, you know, one of them places.
Russia?
What's the matter, Doc?
That was what you wanted to tell me.
Yes, that was what she intended to tell him. That she was also a descendant of the wild Scythian warrior women. And see, the charm would have no effect on her. That's what she intended all along. However, somewhere on the journey between superstition and enlightenment, she became sidetracked. I, on the other hand, shall return here shortly.
To the man who bought the Skyhawk, to the girl in the century, we're glad you like your Buicks, glad you set your spirit free.
And to the family from Ohio, to the folks up in St. Paul, nice to see you join us, nice to see you all.
Do you know that over 400,000 people have already bought 1976 Buicks?
No.
No, we didn't know that.
You like your Buick, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure.
A lot?
Uh-huh, a lot, yeah.
Yeah.
There's probably nothing you don't like about your Buick, right?
I can't think of a thing.
Well, we could probably even say you love your Buick, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah. We could say that I love my Buick. That's right.
In fact, I'll bet you wouldn't trade that Buick for $1 million.
Oh, I wouldn't bet that.
Oh, he bet it, didn't he? Okay, it's a bet. Here's the Buick. Where is the cashola? Let me see it. I don't think he's coming across.
It's nice to see you join us. We're glad it came to be. Nice to see you join us. Glad your spirit's free.
Dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
If you've got a question about lemons, the makers of Minute Maid have the answer.
If I wanted to taste a fresh lemon and didn't want to bother squeezing them, what could I use instead?
Try the first fresh-tasting pure lemon juice in a bottle. New Minute Maid 100% pure lemon juice.
I love lemon juice, but the taste of bottled lemon juice doesn't make it in my house. What's the alternative?
New Minute Maid 100% pure lemon juice. The leading bottle brand contains chemical preservatives that you can actually smell.
Everything I use has to be really fresh, including my lemon juice. And you just can't put that in a bottle.
We did. New Minute Maid 100% pure lemon juice. We squeeze fresh lemons and freeze the pure whole juice. You buy it frozen and keep it in your refrigerator.
I can't handle squeezing lemons. And for my iced tea, I need a really good-tasting lemon juice.
You've got it. Minute Maid 100% pure lemon juice. Delicious in iced tea. Delicious in anything because it's the only pure lemon juice in a bottle. Look for it in your grocer's frozen juice section.
What is really different since 3,000 years ago? When the ancients wanted advice, they asked the oracle at Delphi, who was the priestess of Apollo. She listened to all the facts and then made her prediction. We, on the other hand, feed our facts into a computer and let the computer give us the answer. Was the priestess of Apollo always right? No. Is the computer always right? No. But you can always be right if you listen to us 7 times each week. Our cast included Mandel Kramer, Marion Seldes, Bryna Rayburn, and Earl Hammond. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by your nearby Goodyear Auto Service Center. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
beautiful music. This is KIXI, Seattle.
CBS News. Legislation that would make permanent last year's temporary income tax cut is approved by the Senate Finance Committee. I'm Gary Shepard reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The tax reductions put into effect in 1975 to help end the recession are due to expire at the end of June, and Congress is now moving to avoid what would amount to raising taxes in a presidential election year. The Finance Committee's bill, which would keep withholding taxes where they are beyond June 30th, is expected to reach the Senate floor for a vote by the second week in June. The latest CBS News New York Times voter survey doesn't address itself to taxes, but it does contain a surprise involving two major candidates. We have a report from David Culhane.
The poll shows Jimmy Carter beating President Ford. The margin is narrow, but this is the first time in this election year that any Democrat registered a lead over the president in our survey. And the nationwide sample was taken in the week following Mr. Ford's decisive victories in Michigan and Maryland. However, the poll does show President Ford comfortably defeating any other Democratic candidate. On the Republican side, the poll continues to show President Ford beating Ronald Reagan by a substantial margin among Republicans and independents. Mr. Ford's lead was down only slightly from last month. The striking development was on the Democratic side, the rapid movement of California Governor Jerry Brown. In hypothetical contests, President Ford beats both Brown and Hubert Humphrey, but the poll indicates that Brown would run almost as strongly as the Minnesota senator. The poll continues to show Jimmy Carter as the first choice among active Democratic candidates, and Carter is neck and neck with Hubert Humphrey among Democratic voters. David Culhane, CBS News, New York.
Some difficult years ahead for Social Security. That story and more news in a minute.
The French call it an apéritif. In America, it's the appetizer you drink. Either way, Dubonnet goes before.
Before, that's the time to say I'll have a glass of Dubonnet. Before a meal by day or night, Dubonnet is always right. Before, yeah, before. It's the time before for Dubonnet.
Dubonnet. It all started in France, of course. And whether you call it an aperitif or an appetizer, the proper time to enjoy its distinctive taste is before. Before lunch, before dinner at cocktail time, before whatever you've got cooking. It's a wine that's right for your appetite. Dubonnet Before. Made to make what comes after that much better.
Before, yeah, before.
Product of USA, Dubonnet Company, New York, New York.
The Joint Congressional Economic Committee has been given a blunt warning about the financial health of the Social Security system. The system is in trouble and may need a massive rescue effort by Congress. Alice Rivlin, director of the Congressional Budget Office, put it this way.
The short-run problem is that the combination of recession and inflation has led to less income for the Social Security system and larger payments. And this means that the reserves are declining rather faster than they had been expected to. This doesn't create an immediate crisis, but the Congress should look ahead over the next 2 or 3 years and decide what it wants to do about this situation.
Rivlin says one way to solve the problem would be to raise Social Security taxes again. Congressman Wayne Hayes returned to his home state of Ohio on Thursday and said that despite the scandal over his relationship with Elizabeth Ray, he will not resign from the House of Representatives. Congressman Romano Mazzoli of Kentucky, in a speech on the House floor on Thursday, called for Hayes' resignation to restore the public's esteem for Congress. More after this.
Letters to CBS. I'm Roger Foster, and each Sunday on most of these stations, I read from the mailbag of Letters to CBS, listener comments on CBS News and CBS Radio Network broadcasts. Often listeners simply voice their opinions on affairs of the day. Why not join us and hear what your neighbors around the country are thinking and saying? Letters to CBS from CBS News, Sundays on most of these CBS Radio Network stations.
Most everyone's interested in people who are making news. Supreme Court nominees, political leaders, candidates for public office, cabinet members, and the like. I'm Dallas Townsend, CBS News. Every Sunday on News Profile, I discuss a person who's in the headlines, someone you might like to know more about. Be it a presidential hopeful in the hustings or an unknown thrust into the public eye, I'll try to tell you all about that person and his or her background on News Profile. Listen for the broadcast every Sunday here on the CBS Radio Network.
Chairman Daniel Inouye of the new Senate Intelligence Oversight Committee says it will be 6 months at least before his panel decides whether to reopen the investigation into the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. The committee's first job, says Inouye, will be to draft new charters for the CIA and other intelligence agencies. More than 1,000 residents of Rushville, Ohio, evacuated from their homes Thursday evening after chemicals from a derailed tank car began spilling out. Police say the danger ended several hours later. Gary Shepard, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. The time, 11:06.
I'm Ben Franklin, and once again I quote from the wisdom of Poor Richard's Almanac. At the start of our struggle for independence, I wrote to my friend Joseph Priestley in England. To date, the British Redcoats, at the expense of £3 million, have killed 150 Yankees, which is £20,000 a head. During the same time, 60,000 American children have been born. Please urge the Crown to check my mathematics. In order to kill us all, he will require £20 billion, the armies of all of Europe, and 140 years. And now, some wisdom from a modern source.
When did you last look at your homeowner's insurance coverage? In the past 10 years, building costs have doubled. That means what was fully covered 10 years ago is only half covered today. This message was brought to you by the Insurance Store. For your nearest store, just see an agent listed under the Continental Insurance Soldier in the Yellow Pages.
KIXI, the sound of bright and beautiful music, 24 hours a day.